Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to Third Stream View, where I, your host, PK, am here to chat on Monday evening, June 4th, 2012, here at BBS Radio Station 2, every Monday evening at 8:55 Pacific, 10:55 Eastern, 10:55 Central, 11:55 Eastern. I'm your humble, not so humble host, PK. And here on my show, Third Stream View, we talk about many different things, especially free market economics from the Austrian school, Austrian perspective, the Austrian school of economics, politics, history, geography, music, marijuana, current events, geopolitics, and one of my favorite topics that I'm not afraid to confront, never shy away from, and that is Zionism and Israel and the power of the Jewish lobby and Zionism, the Zionist press, these types of things. And as always, I pay homage to the suits at bbsradio.com. For promoting free speech and free thought. And I'm getting a call from a friend of mine. Can't take it right now. So, yes, I always praise them for that. Thank goodness for alternative media, alternative radio, because without it, we'd be stuck with the same status quo, the usual news speak that we get, and which is greatly manipulated by the CIA and the NSA, FBI, especially CIA. And I have some interesting things to reveal about the CIA again, the things I've just learned in the last week. Over the last, I'd say about 2 or 3 years, it's really come into view how much our media is manipulated by the CIA. I still don't understand who they serve or who they get their marching orders from exactly, if it's the Illuminati, the globalists. I don't think it's the president per se. I don't know where they get their marching orders. And that is something I'd like to figure out. So we'll be looking into that. I'm going to check and see if this friend of mine might be available. And because I asked him to come on. But I don't know if he is available. And let's see. Okay, also, this number for the show, for our show, toll-free Canada, would be 888-429-5471. So the U.S. and Canada, it's 888-429-5471. It's the toll-free number here from my station, my show, Third Stream View, on Station 2 at bbsradio.com. A couple topics I'm going to talk about tonight, several things. I can jump easily from economics to history to philosophy, politics. Of course, always with my own unapologetic, shameless humor mixed in. And I made a note of several things I want to speak about. I also want to wish Her Majesty my best wishes for her 60th year on the throne. I'm very pro-British. It's the mother country. Very pro-British. Very anti-Churchill. But very pro-British. And in fact, I went to summer school in Britain when I was 20. I went to Cambridge for summer school, and I took a course called Modern Britain Today, Political Science and Economics. And then I traveled. I went up to Scotland, and I saw a lot of England and Scotland. And so I was there about, 5 or 6 weeks, and really had an enlightening experience for me, not just the topics of the class, Modern Britain Today, Political Science and Economics, but I was always pretty good in geography, and it was interesting to meet people from outside of the U.S. and get their perspective on things, which is why I like to somewhat arrogantly say that I'm an American who actually knows world geography and world history. And I'm an American who actually knows that the rest of the world knows more about America than America knows about the world, or even America itself. So that is something that I don't mind saying. And it immediately sort of brings the curtain down, and it makes people more friendly or available to speak frankly about America, Americans, and you'd be surprised what you hear once that guard comes down, because some people they realize that Americans are clueless about so much, if not just outright dumb. And so they're hesitant in their conversation and whatnot. But when I say that, it really brings the curtain down, and then the frankness comes out, and it's much more enjoyable. Okay. We have the Walker recall, the Governor Walker recall going on in Wisconsin right now. And as much as I'm opposed to government and the state, I sort of take his side on this. He's facing, of course, all the teachers, unions, and the firemen and the police. I'm not down on them. I know they need jobs, need to work, and they fulfill important roles. But I never forget that they are paid from our taxes. And that makes a clear difference. Now, the teachers' unions are bloated, and the whole public school system, well, that's what you get when you have government schools. Look at the schools. Look at the government schools. Look at the banking system, the Fed. Look at the Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. Look at the wars. Everything government manages, quote unquote, is awful. So everybody's ganging up on Walker. I'm not thrilled with the guy much, but I take their side in standing up to the public employee unions, because they're some of the worst ones today. They've been, over the last few decades, they've been heavily unionized as union membership falls otherwise. So I am very pro-employee, but I'm anti-union, because to me, unions, or most unions, are monopolistic and anti-competitive. Why aren't there competing unions? I mean, the musicians union card, I think the guidelines or bylines prohibit dual unionism. And that doesn't mean you can't be a musicians union member and a carpenter member. It means that there can't be dueling musician unions. Why not? Why can't they compete? Why don't unions compete with each other? Why aren't there more competitive unions? Everybody has the right to work for less. What's wrong with offering a better price and getting the job? Which what complicates that, though, is since the Federal Reserve keeps destroying the value of money, it takes more dollars to pay for things that used to require fewer dollars, because there's more dollars in circulation chasing fewer goods, or the quantity of goods hasn't increased. So, and governments control the money supply. Governments have monopolized money over the ages. Money did not grow out of government. Money does not derive its origins in government. It came from the marketplace. And that is its source. And over time, governments monopolized it. They took control of it, and then they further destroyed it. So that is something to be aware of. Still communicating with the suits. All right. So I spoke about the Queen. Quite elaborate, the festivities. And her husband, who's kind of some would say a nut job, or he's kind of kooky with his gaffes and whatnot, Prince Philip, he's 90. He's going to be 91 on the weekend. He's in the hospital for some bladder issues or whatever, and so he wasn't able to make the celebrations today, I don't believe, much to his regret. But it's nice to see Her Majesty up there. She kept that stoic, didn't smile much, that stoic look on her face, but 60 years on the throne. Now, that is only rivaled by Queen Victoria, who also spent 60 years presiding over the British Empire from, I believe, when did she, 02, so I think, when did she take power? And I don't have the details in front of me, but it was about 60 years of, was it around 1840, Queen Victoria became queen. I don't have it. I'm going to quickly look it up. But she was there for 60 years and really oversaw quite a bit of turmoil and development and for the whole British Empire. Let me see. I got a communication here. It seems like my friend Blaine is here. Blaine, are you out there? Dean, are you out there?
I'm out here. I am out Dean. Here in Radio Land. How you doing, PK?
All right, Dean. Thanks for your availability. I saw that you called, but I couldn't take your call. I don't know if you can speak very long, but I wanted to kind of go into part two of what we spoke on last time, and then also move into your international travels and what that topic is all about.
Okay.
But first of all, will you join me in wishing Her Majesty the Queen a great 60 years on the throne?
Well, that's fantastic. Yes.
Isn't that something?
Quite an extraordinary lady, yes.
60 years. 60
Absolutely.
Years on the throne. She was away on holiday, or I think she was in, I don't know, Australia or India when she heard that her father, the king, was it King George, died. So she came home and that fell in her lap at 26 years old.
Right. And PK, I should know this, but how old is she today?
86.
I'm guessing. Okay, I was going to say 70, late 70s. Okay, 86.
Yeah, well, leave history to me, will you? So
yeah, there you go.
Anyway, there was a couple of topics I was going to speak on tonight because I didn't have any guests lined up. But one thing I just found out last time we spoke, I don't know if I spoke with you about briefly, and I'm not a JFK assassination buff, but it's the overall stuff that's really bugging me about this. Did I tell you last time that I just learned a couple weeks ago that the CIA got a hold of that Magruder film and they edited out probably 20, 25 frames?
Wow, that doesn't surprise me.
Did you know that? Okay, now here's the other kicker I just learned this week, is that those bastards in the CIA, they also removed the windshield from the car of the assassination, and they replaced the windshield because the Warren report said that there was the shot came from behind.
Yeah, that's the way I understood it. So what does the windshield have to do with it?
Yeah, which would have scratched the windshield from the back. But some of the people who worked on it, you know, had testified that there was a shot from the front. And they had to retracted their testimony. But they swapped out the windshield because it had a bullet hole clear coming from the front. A shot came from the front. So of course they always need their patsy, who of course was Oswald.
Right. So in my understanding correctly, what that theory proves is there were two people shooting at him.
Yeah, I'm sure there was a couple of shots fired.
Okay.
And, of course, one hit the governor of Texas. So that miracle bullet is totally BS, brought to you by that idiot senator who was wrote it out, the senator from Pennsylvania. I can't think of his name, but he was the single bullet theory lawyer guy. In the government at the time. So, in other words, they always need their patsy, just like Sirhan. Whether or not the patsy's involved or remotely involved doesn't matter because they turn on him in the end anyway, and they set him up to have a blame guy. So that's what happened. But that just really pissed me off that they switched that screen out, because not that I was a Kennedy lover, it's just that what they've been up to, how they lie and deceive and cheat and do all kinds of awful things, all wrapped up in the name of patriotism. So before I go on, to all you CIA people who are listening who hate this show, who hate this sort of thing, and the NSA and the FBI, screw you hypocritical, treasonous American citizen bastards. Thank you very much.
Wow, that's very eloquently put, PK.
Thank you. I am quite eloquent. Now, dovetailing on what we're going to talk about, and I don't know if it's just for political reasons, but finally, the state of New York's waking up as the governor of New York and even the mayor of New York City want to see small amounts of marijuana decriminalized.
Well,
had you heard that?
I think they're realizing the benefits and the fact that money can be made, and if it's regulated correctly, money can be made for everyone. Don't you agree?
Well, of course I agree, but what the hell took them so long?
Well, that's a question that I don't want to comment on.
And right now I'm going to criticize the blacks, is my South African terminology for blacks. The blacks. What's with the blacks? What's with the black and Latin leadership? The drug laws are clearly racist and oppressive to their own people. And what have the black and Latin intellectuals done? They haven't done much about it. I don't know many black leaders who have railed against the drug war. It's awful what it's done to their communities. What do they fear talking about? I have no fear to discuss it and fire on it. But they've let their own people down. You know, so many people are in jail for nonviolent drug offenses. They shouldn't even be there. It's like putting somebody in jail because they had alcohol. It's ridiculous.
Right.
Our generation has to change it. And most people are opposed to, I think, marijuana prohibition, for example.
Most people are, and surprisingly, a lot of non-cannabis users are that I've talked to that are just like, hey, it's live and let live, you know, it doesn't hurt anybody, and, you know, there are worse things out there, and, you know, if people want or need to partake in it for health reasons as well, then so be it. And I get that a lot from people that don't use it. So I agree.
I've heard that too. So you're definitely right about that. And by the way, listen, back to Queen Victoria. Queen Victoria was on the throne actually longer than our Queen Elizabeth, who was her great granddaughter. Queen Victoria was on the throne for 63 years and 7 months. And as I understand it, in her earlier days, she even used cannabis for her menstrual cramps.
Yeah, I can believe it. Yeah, well, some of the people that were cannabis users really make me kind of chuckle a little bit. One I just found out recently was Bing Crosby was apparently an advocate of cannabis. I shouldn't say an advocate, but he was definitely a user.
What, he had others? He had ganja in that pipe instead of tobacco?
That's what I'm hearing, yeah. I know, that's kind of shocking, but hey, you know, good for him if it worked. You know, like we spoke about last time, PK, I've never seen anybody get high and want to go out and hurt somebody. You know, it just doesn't seem to do that to people. So.
Well, I've just changed Bing Crosby's song now. I will now sing it to you. I'm dreaming of a green Christmas. Thank you very much.
That's pretty clever.
That's where the green comes in, the Christmas word, and the green and red decorations, the green being the ganja buds with little red streaks of little hairs going through them. Perhaps that's the symbolism of the green and red during Christmas time.
Well, maybe according to Bing it was. But anyway, yeah,
the logical extension of Bing is to bong. So you see how it's connected.
Yeah, that's pretty amusing there, PK.
So let's move on to your other sort of quest or something that interests you, Dean, and that is going overseas to the Ukraine. You're going to make what now? Your fourth trip here in the near future?
No, this will be my sixth trip. Sixth trip over to Eastern Europe. Yeah, Gosh, what do you want to ask me about that, PK?
Well, I've got a lot of useful information. Please explain to my multitudes of listeners what this is all about. I bet the suits in the office will get a kick out of this too. What is your quest? What brings you to the Ukraine, Dean?
Well, it started for me in about 2000. I just had a lot of trouble with relationships, and I was always I'll try to condense everything here. I was really disappointed with the loss of real old fashioned feminine qualities in women, and I found the area I was living at the time, which was Santa Cruz, which is one of the big cannabis places in Northern California. One of the things I disliked about it was the women were taking on real male masculine traits, I'll say, and I didn't fit in. You know, I was always more of like an old school gentleman, and I tried to treat women like that. And in Santa Cruz, I kind of got laughed at for acting that way. And I just got interested in foreign women, you know, that were raised in a completely different environment and still had a lot of those, say, old-fashioned feminine traits and qualities that I was looking for. So that's what got me interested in it, was basically, I'll come out and say it, was just being treated very badly by the women that were surrounding me.
Well, you're too nice of a guy. You let them walk on you a bit.
Well, I'm not going to argue against that. Yeah, in mistake, yes, maybe I did. I don't do that anymore, PK.
Good.
I learned.
Good. Now, what's wrong with American women? What's wrong with American women? Could it be that so many of them, especially the younger ones, are very superficial, high maintenance, spoiled, and materialistic?
Yes.
Could that be some of the reasons?
That could be a lot of the reason.
Yeah.
And you know, I want to throw out a defense here for women. Now I know that you have no sympathy for them, but in their defense, they were raised after the sexual revolution. So a lot of them grew up seeing, you know, that maybe no fathers around or not around much, not too involved in their lives, seeing their mother take the fatherly role and you know, outworking lots of hours, and a lot of these kids were being raised by themselves, you know, or by television, or by, you know, what they were hearing on the radio and things like that. So I don't hold a grudge against that. It's just not for me. I just am looking for those, like I said before, those old-fashioned feminine qualities in women, you know, that a man has his place and a woman has her place. And what I see a lot of is the woman or the young women want both. They want to be the man and the woman. They want it all. That's what I see, which that scares me. That, to me, that's a little bit over the top. That's kind of flirting with unhealthy, in my opinion.
It's way too over the top, and I don't buy into it because, to me, you know, the man is the leader of the household. He has to be, of course, he should be a gentleman and fairly sensitive and flexible. You know, we get that, but, you know, the man's the leader of the household, and a good woman understands that and supports him.
Right.
Now, I happen to love foreign women because I love the way they, you know, when they speak English, it's like music to my ears. I like the different cultures. I like the different backgrounds. And having worked on cruise ships for so many years playing in the orchestras, I had mostly foreign girlfriends, England, Portugal, Canada, Italy.
Right.
So
it would be interesting
to me. I really embraced, you know, I love that. I even changed the words of the song sometimes. I wish they all could be European girls.
Well, PK, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I was going to say it would be very interesting for me to ask you a question, if I may.
Don't embarrass me in front of my millions of fans and listeners.
No, I don't want to. I'm not trying to embarrass you. This is for my own curiosity. What do you find different about foreign women versus American women? And when you're done, I will give my opinion on it, but I'd like to know what you think.
I'll never be done. No, I find that they're more into being women. They're not so much full of this feminist crap.
Right.
And I like the different cultures. I just like where they're coming from, you know, which you call maybe old-fashioned values. I call that, you know, they're more into being women. They don't have to compete with us. They, you know, we are what we are. They are what they are. We're different. We should enjoy the differences.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I agree 100%. 100%. And well, with me personally, PK, I see a lot of relationships here, if we'll call them that. And I hear it from the guys a lot too. It's like, oh, she's so cool. She's one of the guys. I have her around. We watch football. She watches with my friends, you know, and she loves being around men. And matter of fact, she doesn't have too many female friends. She likes hanging around men better, and she gets along with men. It's like, well, of course she does.
Yeah, that's those are my favorite women.
I'm trying to tell these guys, if your woman doesn't have any female friends and is surrounded by nothing but male friends, something's a little wrong there. And that's, again, a little over the top, a little unnatural, in my opinion. You know, if a woman can't get along with other women, there's something wrong.
That's where you're wrong. I prefer, and this is not about sluttiness or even about romance, I prefer women who have mostly male friends. The women who have mostly male friends, to me, are still feminine. They're a lot cooler to be around. They have a few girlfriends, but not a lot. And they're pretty close with the few girlfriends. But a lot of them don't like women. They don't like the cattiness. They don't like, you know, how they are. And they don't care usually to have a female boss either. Because, you know, some American women, they get to become a boss or a manager. Yeah. And they got a bit of an axe to grind. Well, I made it, you know. And then other women sense that and they don't like it. So I disagree with you in that sense. And I don't care about women who like sports. I don't care about professional sports. But I find that women who have mostly male friends are more fun to hang out with. They don't get bent out of shape. They can take a joke. And they're, to me, that, I mean, that's how I see it. And they're still feminine, just like tomboys. Tomboys grow up to be feminine. You know, they're not little prissy girls.
Are you looking for a buddy, PK, or are you looking for a soulmate? See, that's the difference.
Well, I'm looking for a soulmate, chicks who are one of the guys doesn't necessarily mean that they have male attributes. It means that they're, you know, like, there's certain band chicks. I know, you know, females who are band chicks. They're comfortable very comfortable in the company of musicians.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm not trying to disagree with you on this. I think that's a personal preference. You know, I prefer a little softer, feminine woman as opposed to, I have all kinds of women friends. I've got great friends that are women, and we get along great. And, you know, I mean, gosh, it's fantastic to hang out with them. Now, would I want them for my soulmate? No. So that's just my preference.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean it definitely does not mean that women who have mostly male friends are butch or not or aren't feminine. Because when men befriend women, as it doesn't really mean romance, when we take them in, they're like a sister to us. We look out for them. We're not necessarily interested in them sexually or romantically when they're one of the guys. It's a different kind of concept. Yes, you can find romance with them, but when women become one of the guys and we take them in as men and they're our close friends, we look out for them. And other women often resent the women who have mostly male friends because the women who don't have, they don't have that rapport. They don't understand it, so they often resent those other women, but that's their problem.
Well, see, now I disagree with you, PK. I disagree with you on that issue. If a woman has all male friends and no female friends, that to me there's something wrong, and there's a reason for that. And which is something else that you just said, well, we're just interested in friendship, we're not interested in anything else. I don't buy that. I don't mean all of them.
I don't mean a woman who has all or only male friends. I don't mean that. I mean, I got a chick trombone player in my band, and she has mostly male friends. She's feminine. She likes guys. She hangs out with guys more. You know, she has a couple girlfriends, but, you know.
Well, wouldn't you? I mean, I like girls, you know. It's like I like to hang out with girls. So, but what I'm saying is, it's easy for women to have male friends because most of the time, I'll say most of the time, the male friend is interested in more than friendship. And you can we can argue about that all night, PK, but
that's an option.
I firmly believe that.
That's an option, but like
oh, that's an option. Okay. Well, it's not supposed to be an option. Can I tell you a quick little story here? We're kind of getting away from the foreign bride thing, but within the last year, I had a female friend that we kind of became more than friends, and we were starting to have a sexual relationship, and then she decided just cut it off and said, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I want to just be friends. And I said, okay, great. We'll just be friends. So she invited me over one night, and we're going to watch a movie and have a little bit of dinner and just be friends. Well, the next thing I know, she's up on the bed, and she's inviting me to come up on the bed, and then she's cuddling with me, and I'm a guy. I'm a normal guy, a normal, healthy guy. What's my next thought? Okay, so I'm going to go take it to the next level. All right. Now she gets all upset and says, oh, I thought we were just going to be friends. I thought it was going to be like one of my girlfriends. And I said, no, if you want to just be friends, then I sit in that chair. You sit in that chair. Friends don't kiss. Friends don't cuddle. Friends don't hold hands. Friends are friends. And this is the point I'm trying to make is, too many people cross that line as friends. So there are very few true friendships between men and women without that gray area. And if you're honest with yourself, PK, you're going to know what I'm talking about.
Well, yeah, but the option is like...
the option. I like that, the option.
No, the alternative. The other way is like, again, there are... I mean, I have female friends that we're good friends. I'm not interested in them physically or sexually, but we're friends. But if they're one of the guys, that still means they're feminine, like a band chick, a chick singer, or a nice looking, say, piano player, whatever. They're still feminine, but they're one of the guys because they're fun to hang out with. They have a different outlook than a lot of other women.
Okay, well, hey, you know what? That's your preference.
Or if they already have a boyfriend or a husband, they're still one of the guys that we still like. They're still in our little circle. We like them, we love them as a friend, and we look out for them.
Absolutely. And I like when the line's drawn. I like my female friends that are married or have steady boyfriends. I like when the line is drawn. It's like, hey, no hanky panky. We're just friends. But this one experience I had. This girl was confused, and I told her, I said, hey, friends, we're just, you said you wanted to be just friends. We don't kiss. We don't cuddle. We don't, because what's the next thing that a guy's going to want to do? And she didn't understand that. And then she later talked to, I think, some of her girlfriends, and then she came back and apologized to me and said, I was leading you on, because you're a guy and you don't lead a guy on like that.
That's funny.
And I said, thank you. So... But anyways, but you know,
all right, back to the Ukraine, Eastern Europe.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Go ahead.
Tell us about it.
Tell you about the Ukraine.
Well, and your purpose of going over there and what you've learned and da 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 da.
Okay. Well, I have learned a great deal about the Ukraine, Eastern Europe, Russia, Moldavia. And it's been a great experience over there. First of all, you've got to keep your head cool. I mean, literally, you get over there and you'll see an abundance of beautiful women. There are many theories why there's so many beautiful women. We can get into that a little bit later if you want.
Give us one of
them. What's one of the theories? Okay, you want to talk about that? Well, one of the theories, and this is kind of interesting, is back in, say, the 12th century over in Europe, there was a lot of witch hunting and witch killing going on, where I think in the States it was more in the 1500s, 1600s. But prior to that, there were a lot of women being killed in Western Europe, but not Eastern Europe. So that left a lot of the population of women a lot higher in Eastern Europe. That's one theory. Another theory is that when the Vikings came through there, they collected all the most beautiful women from everywhere they could. Well, they stole them, basically, you know that, and brought them to the Ukraine and other Eastern European countries and had them for trade and things like that, which I'm not agreeing with. That's just what happened. And then another theory over there, and this is pretty interesting.
It'd be nice if you could trade them in, though, you know? Trade one in, you know? I want a new model.
Exactly. In the birth rate, female babies survive a lot more than male babies. And in the States, I think maybe it's our advanced medical technology because most of our births survive. But
well,
over
that's
there,
because the Ukrainian males are fed vodka as babies and the women aren't.
That could be as well. Yeah, and it's just something in the genes. But it's amazing, PK. You get over there and you'll see these gorgeous women walking around. And if that was happening here in the States, guys would be going crazy. They'd be getting in car accidents, looking at them. They'd be fighting over them. And over there, it's like no big deal. It's like a lion that's just been fed a bunch of filet mignon until he's about to pop. And then a lamb walks by. Well, he's not interested in the lamb because he's good and full. It's kind of the same theory over that. There's so many women, so many beautiful women, and the ratio I think in Ukraine last time I checked was about 4 or 5 to 1 women to men.
Wow.
And they are just beautiful. I think they're the most beautiful on the planet personally.
Now I would say South America has the most beautiful women, but
well,
is the Ukraine
again, that's personal preference.
What about the Ukrainian males? Do the women like them, or do they have their pick over there, Ukrainian males?
Well, the Ukrainian males have the monopoly over there. I mean, they know the women are stuck there. They know the women can't get out of there on their own, per se. So the men really, really kind of have their pick. And some of them, they don't treat the women all so nicely at times. And I think that a lot of the Ukrainian women have their issues with Ukrainian men. But for the most part, it's not as bad as the media has made it out to be. You know, everything I hear, and by the way, I'm an expert on this subject, if you didn't know already, PK. A lot of men will come to me and say, well, you know, the men over there are terrible. They're all alcoholics. They beat their women, have no ambition. This just simply is not true. This is a fabrication that our media and basically a lot of U.S. women have made. And the men want to believe this. They want to believe, oh, yeah, they hate Ukrainian men, and they all they want is a man from the U.S. This simply is not true. They actually, if they had their preference, they'd be much more happy with a man from their own culture. But
well,
there's one thing that's standing in their way over there, and that's opportunity, and they don't have much.
Well, when you speak about the men and the drinking and all that, I don't think it pertains to the Ukraine as much as it does. Russia has more of a problem, I think, with alcoholism.
I don't think that's true, PK. I think Ukraine has just as much of a alcohol problem as Russia.
And of course, Russia's got a bit of a heroin problem too.
They have a terrible synthetic drug problems over there, and that's fairly recent. Apparently they're taking a bunch of codeine, and I guess you can buy a ton of it over the counter there, and extracting the properties from it and making a synthetic heroin, and the users, I guess, experience their skin falling off, like literally falling off their body.
Yeah,
and,
but Afghanistan's pumping out a lot of heroin too, opium.
Yeah.
You know.
And it's a big problem over there. But the biggest problem is alcohol, not so much drugs. It's really alcohol,
right.
And that's
well, alcohol
just
is the gateway drug. So okay, so you go to the Ukraine, and are you involved in a business, or what is your?
Well, yes, I am involved in a business, and my business is to help men and educate men, keep men from getting scammed, because the scams over there are just running wild, like wildfire. I mean, all these agencies, and the American agencies are the worst ones. Now, they'll tell men things like, oh, we've got anti-scam policies, we protect the men, we pre-screen the women. That's a bunch of bull. They don't even know the women. What they do is they hire a local agency in the Ukraine, and they just contract them out. And then they show all these men these beautiful, gorgeous pictures of these young women, and the agency, the American agencies, don't even know the women. So it's just a big scam. I mean, I'm very down on agencies right now, as you can tell. And that's where I come into play, is if I can educate men, they don't need agencies. They just need to be careful when they go over there.
Okay. So now, and when they get there, are you like a guide? Are you an advisor?
Yes, I'm both. I'm a guide and advisor, and actually I can help them find good, honest women that are looking for a relationship. That's the key. Most of the women over there are looking for money. They really are. They're looking for money, and they've got these guys buffaloed. And when it comes to matters of the heart, PK, now, not everyone's as smart as you, granted, right? We got to make that clear. No, not
That's true.
Most people aren't as intelligent as you, PK.
That's true.
Am I correct?
Thank you.
Okay.
Although I suck in math and science, but a lot of things, I know my stuff.
Right, okay. Well, a lot of men, let's just say they get caught up in the moment. And, you know, I was one of them. I got scammed really bad. I got scammed, and it hurts to get scammed. It hurts. It hurts your pride. It hurts your heart. It hurts your wallet. And so by my business, men talking with me and just getting educated on the subject can save thousands of dollars, and if they want to go over there, I'll take them over there. And I have guides and interpreters over there that are real, and they're going to tell these men the truth, and they're going to tell them quickly, hey, you're on a date with this beautiful girl, she's not into you, I can tell, you know, I asked her some questions about you and her answers were negative. So my interpreter is going to tell the man that, and then he has a choice of ending the date, or maybe he's having a good time being with this young, beautiful woman, and just is it going to enjoy his time and continue the date and know that he's getting scammed, basically. A lot of guys, we call that the dream rental, and a lot of guys are fully content to just be out on a date with a beautiful young girl in her company.
So it would seem to me, well, first, a lot of those girls speak English, don't they?
Yes, they do, and a lot more speak English than lead on.
Yeah, I believe that, but I also think that a lot of these men are probably choosing women that are too young for them.
Yes, they are. You're absolutely right.
I suggest about at least 10 years younger, but when you go beyond that, it kind of gets tricky. Although, on a brighter note, I see that Hef has reconciled with the 24 or 25-year-old blonde he was supposed to marry.
Yeah. Well,
isn't that a sweet story?
Yeah, I think he's making a mistake, but, you know.
Good old Hef. God bless him.
God bless him. Yep. He's mad after all our own hearts.
That's right. But, I was always a fan.
You know,
he's in his mid-80s, but hell, if I could pull a 25-year-old when I'm 80, I guess I'll be pretty cool.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, now, that's another thing that really, really seems to fry these American women, is when guys go over there and they hook up with younger women. And, you know, I don't blame them. They're, you know, it's jealousy, and I don't blame them. But I don't blame the men either, because a lot of them have been treated really badly here. So
Hef is the same age as the Queen. He's 86.
Well, maybe they should get together.
No, man, she's too old for him.
A little bit of Viagra here, might get a little action going. You never
there you go.
No, I'm joking. Obviously, Hef is, he definitely has champagne taste when it comes to women. Yeah, bless him. Yeah. Okay. So, what else did you want to ask me, PK?
So, in the Ukraine now, how long will you be there this time?
I'm only going to be there about 10 days this time. It's going to be a short trip, and I will. I'm going to skip over to Moldavia, which is a neighboring little country, and there are a lot of beautiful women there. Actually, it's even more of a poor country than the Ukraine, so their economy is a little worse there, which can work in your favor or work against you.
Now, do they speak Russian in both countries?
Yes, for the most part, they speak Russian, and they will understand Russian.
So there is a Ukrainian language.
There is, yes. And most people in the Ukraine speak Russian. But in the western part of the country, yes, they still speak Ukrainian, which is, it's a little bit different, but generally someone that speaks Russian or Ukrainian or vice versa, generally they can understand each other, you know, to some degree.
Sure. So. Okay. Interesting. So what is now, are you be in Kiev? Is that where you land? Is that your destination, Kiev?
Yeah, I'm gonna land in Kiev, and then I'm gonna take a flight over to Odessa.
Okay. Odessa is in the south Ukraine?
You might call it south. It's bordering the Black Sea, and it's nice and warm there. Not far from Turkey, actually.
In the Crimea.
Crimea, yeah, that's down further. That's Sevastopol, Crimea. Yeah, that's the real, real beautiful area of the Ukraine.
Have you been down there?
Yeah, I've been down that way. Yeah, it's very nice.
Charge of the Light Brigade, Britain, France, and Turkey against Russia in 1856. Charge of the Light Brigade in Sevastopol down there in the Crimea, right on the Black Sea, I believe.
Yeah, that's true. That they were at war with Turkey. Turkey
were allied with Turkey against Russia. So, have you been down to the Crimea? Have you been to Sevastopol?
Yes, I have.
How is that? Is it rather poor, or you know?
No. It's more of a wealthier area. I mean, I don't mean wealthy like, you know, Palm Springs or Beverly Hills, but I mean it's a wealthier area and a very, very beautiful landscape.
So what is their industries down there? Tourism or agriculture? Is there oil? What do they have?
Well, actually they do have some resources there. They do produce some agriculture, and the tourist industry is one of their biggest. But, you know, basically, PK, it's a poor country. I mean, I don't call it third world, but I call it second world. You know,
yeah.
They're a developing country, and, you know, hopefully they'll do a little better in the future. As you know, they've got quite a corrupt government there. I mean, you think ours is bad. Oh, my gosh.
I do.
You know, it's really corrupt there in the Ukraine. And, yeah, so they're developing, but you know, it's basically a poor country.
And so, have you ever rented a car there? Is that difficult to do? Or,
well, I don't do that. I don't like driving in foreign countries personally. Now, that's just me. I'm not saying that you can't do it. I'm sure that most people with some good common sense would be fine doing that. I just don't like to do that myself. In any foreign country, I mean, you just have to take extra caution with things, as you know.
Is it, what are the cops like there? Is there a lot of fraud, or, I mean, is it safe?
There's a lot of corruption. And actually, I had the fortunate experience to get shaken down by the cops. So it's funny, all the bad things that can happen to a person traveling to the Ukraine all happened to me within a couple of years. So now I have lived to tell about it. Yeah, I actually was traveling home from a couple of nightclubs and out having dinner with some of my colleagues, and we were walking back to the hotel, and two police officers stopped us and said, "Okay, guys, we need to see your passports." And we were told when we got there to leave our passports at the hotel. In fact, the hotel required that. So none of us had our passports on us, and the police said, "Well, we need a little gift," or "gift," I should say, the way that they pronounce it. "We want gift."
And so they knew you were American.
They knew we were American. So
they heard you talking then.
They took our money and let us go. And from what I've learned, the best way to get out of any jam legally there in the Ukraine is to hand over money. Just give them money, and generally they'll go away if it's enough.
See, there's something to be said for that, too, because that happens in South America and other countries, where here it's not so simple, but it helps to facilitate you know, the market process, because the government just puts obstacles in the way. Then they want their bribe. So at least with a bribe, you don't have to deal with all the other crap, like building inspectors, how that whole crowd goes and everything, you know.
Right.
So there's kind of an upside to it in my view.
Well, I guess I look at it as being kind of sad, because over there there's such corruption. I mean, even students in school, you know, going to college, you have to pay off the teacher to get an A type of thing. You know, that's just wrong.
Oh, I'm not referring to that, but oh, okay.
But what I'm saying is there's corruption all over, and apparently if you need help from the police, you gotta pull out some money. So in other words, if a girl is being harassed by her neighbor across the way, the police officer will show up, and if the girl doesn't have any money, he'll say, "Well, that's your own problem," you know, and that's wrong. I don't agree with that.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, if you're in a little other kind of jam, or if they found some reefer or something, just, you know, pay him and leave me alone.
Well, that's what you'd have to do. Now, you know, we've talked about reefer quite a bit. I wouldn't suggest taking any reefer or buying any reefer over there in the Ukraine, personally.
Well, I never take any there.
Well,
it's not known for its Ukraine. It's known for agriculture, though. The Ukraine has some of the most fertile soil in the world, I always thought.
Well, yeah, no. And you know, they get a lot from Afghanistan, like you mentioned earlier. But what can happen in the Ukraine is that somebody sees you, you know, lighting up a joint or something, and they'll blackmail you. You know, they'll say, "Hey, we saw you smoking drugs, and unless you cough up $1,000, we're going to the police." And they're in on it with the police.
Well, couldn't they say that anyway?
What's that?
Couldn't they say it anyway, just out of the lies and the fraud of the whole thing? All I saw is, if you had absolutely no drugs, couldn't they still say, "Hey, I saw somebody smoking reefer"?
Sure, they could, yeah. One of the big scams, and I was kind of tipped off to this by a local gentleman, he said, just be careful with the real young girls, he said, because what they've been doing lately is they'll get a guy in a hotel room and then scream that you tried to rape her. The cops will show up and demand a large sum of money to buy your way out of it, you know, and if you don't have it, then you're going to jail.
Well, I like what happened to those pricks from the Secret Service in Colombia, because there apparently prostitution is not illegal as it prescribed in certain areas, and if you don't pay them, then they can go to the cops and get your ass arrested. And these pricks from the Secret Service try to get away with not paying the hookers, and that's what landed them in trouble, because the girls went to the cops.
Yeah, those guys were idiots. I mean,
I don't care what happens to those government bastards.
Yeah, there's no excuse for that. You know, it's not like they don't have the money. They're just being jerks.
Right. So do you have a little friend over there in the Ukraine?
Yeah, I've got a little friend, and she kind of helps me out, and it's really nice to know someone over there that speaks the language. And, you know, boy, talk about someone that's street smart. I mean, she's 25, and she, you know, New York City's got nothing on her, man. She knows the scams. She knows where to stay away from. She, you know, it's just being raised around there.
And she speaks good English?
Yeah, I've learned quite a bit. Actually, she's been a great source of information for me.
And are there a lot of prostitutes over there too?
There's a good amount of prostitution over there. I mean, any underprivileged country will have a good amount of prostitution. I mean, I hate to say it, but that's kind of the way it
Russia
goes.
Russia has a lot.
What's that?
Russia has a lot.
Yeah, Russia has a lot. Yeah. Ukraine has its share, you know.
But it's the only thing girls can sell all of their lives and still own.
Well, but what's happening in the Ukraine and Russia, even probably more so in the Ukraine, is they're getting smarter. Now they're saying, we don't have to put out. We can get money by just selling our picture to an agency. And so this American guy is writing this girl and sending her gifts that she's not getting and spending thousands of dollars on letters on having this love affair romance. And this girl doesn't even know him. He's writing to an interpreter.
Wow.
That's what's going on.
And are there American agencies there, stationed there?
Yes.
Tell us about some of those.
Well, I don't want to. I'm not going to name names, but yes, there are American agencies that are set up there, and that's they fall under the umbrella of both. When they need to run away from the rules, they run to the Ukraine, and then when they want to have the stability of we run a legitimate agency, then they run back to the U.S. But yeah, they're set up there, and they work with these local agencies. There's hundreds of local agencies, right? These all these little tiny local agencies that have these girls, and a bigger agency will subcontract one of the smaller agencies and get a bunch of girls over there. For example, they have something called a social over there, and what you'll see at a social, I mean, it's just fabulous for your first time there. There'll be about 15 guys in there and about 75 girls, you know, right. 75 women. And it's just, you know, you're like a kid in a candy store. It's like being in a harem. And, you know, you got girls coming up trying to meet you and, you know, almost competing for you. You'd love it, PK.
If there's a guy there who finds a nice gal about 10 years younger, I mean, there are some, I would assume, you know, quite a few marriages that actually happen, aren't there?
There are some marriages that happen, yeah, but I mean, the marriages are less frequent than people think, and then the marriages that last are even less frequent than that. So, this is the propaganda that's shoved down our throats, and the agencies try to make you buy, you know, all these testimonies, and well, those testimonies. I mean, you can go get your friend Bob and your other friend Susan, and you know. Make a testimony. I mean, who's going to check it, you know?
Yeah.
And it isn't as common as you think, you know, especially with a big age difference, you know?
Yeah.
And that's,
I'm not looking towards that. My doctor friend, his second wife was from the Ukraine. They had a kid together, but now they're divorced. I don't know how long they were married. And I met her once and I don't think he's that much older than her. I don't think he's more than 10 years older than her, but she was from the Ukraine and it, you know, didn't work out. So,
yeah.
But a lot of marriages here don't work out. So what's the difference, you know?
No,
what's the difference? Because the bottom line is if it's got tits or wheels, you'll have trouble with it.
very eloquently put, PK.
Very astute. Well, on this show, I can do that. It's my Howard Stern sensibilities.
Yeah,
because he puts it all out there. It's all out in the open. Yeah, I'm kind of like that.
But I wanted to welcome my web address for anyone
Please
that's
do.
Interested in going to my web and getting more information or speaking with me one-on-one. And I'd like to help people. I'd like to actually find women over there in Eastern Europe that are looking for real relationships. They're not looking for just money. And there are plenty of women over there. It's just finding them, weeding through the bad seeds. So you're going to go to honestloveforyou.com. That's HONESTLOVE, number 4, letter U. Honestloveforyou.com. And you can check out my website. You can schedule a call with me.
I'm writing this down. Sorry. Honest, L-O-V-E, 4, the number
number
4.
Number 4, the letter U, yes.
Okay. .com.
.com. And I've got a call line, and I can talk one-on-one, or we can communicate via email, or we can set up a trip over there to the Ukraine. And basically, I'm going over there to just guide people and set them up with good people, good interpreters. The interpreters are going to run about $20 an hour. That's the going rate. But with the interpreters that I set them up with, the interpreter is working for the man as opposed to the other way around, which it usually is. Usually the girl and the interpreter are friends and they work in cahoots.
So you've eliminated that problem then. You don't allow that.
Well, I wouldn't say I've eliminated it, but yeah. No, I don't allow it in my organization. No. Absolutely not.
Do you tell the men in advance that that's what a lot of them like to do?
It happens all the time.
The girl that escorts the gal that you're interested in as a translator is actually in on it?
They're actually in on it, and not only are they in on it, but a lot of the time they're roommates or they're really close friends, And they get the taxi drivers in on it. I mean, they get people in the restaurants in on it. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
But
you know, a lot of the time, the guy driving.
But you inform your American male clients about this, right?
Say that again.
You inform your male American clients about these scamming techniques, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. That's what they need to know. You know, when they go over there, because it's very easy to lose your head over there. I mean, you get caught up in all the beautiful women and the beautiful women saying, "Oh, you're sexy man," and "No, I want to be with you. I want to come over and be with you in America." And you know, while this is going on, you know, they're reaching in your back wallet. I mean, it's pretty amazing, you know, and it's pretty amazing how we can. It's almost like a drug over there. You know, you're in this fantasy world that actually appears like it's coming true.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
so
really
this will
amazing.
Be your sixth trip.
My sixth trip, yes.
And you're going, what, later this month?
Yeah, well, actually, I'm going in a couple of weeks. And I'm taking over a couple of gentlemen that are interested in finding a relationship. One of which who is in his early 60s, and another one who's in his late 40s.
And are they realistic about the age group that they're looking for? And you know,
yeah, I think they are, because I've really, really tried to impress upon that issue for them. You know, don't get too far. You know, I hate to use these terms, but it's like, don't play too far out of your league. And I think that they get it. I really do.
Well, you don't have to say out of their league, out of your age limit, out of your age zone.
Well, yeah, that's a different way to put it. But, yeah, and unlike the press and the propaganda has tried to cram this down our throat, Ukrainian Eastern European women are not generally okay with a huge age difference. You know, and the men want to believe that they are, but they're really not. There, the age difference that they feel is acceptable is probably closer to the women in the U.S. I mean, they think, okay, 10, 15 years, that's about it. 20 in some cases. You know, you go over 20-year age difference, and you're pushing it. I'm not saying that these relationships don't work out. Do I recommend it? Absolutely not. Does it happen often? Absolutely not.
She was 15 going on 30, Doc. I'll tell you, when you got that red beaver there right in front of you, what's a man to do, Doc?
Yeah, Doc, you'd be telling that to
do you remember judge. That?
No.
That's my impression I was just doing
like
there.
Jack Nicholson there.
That's right, in Cuckoo's Nest. Thank you very much.
Oh,
yes,
that's
sir.
Great.
Well, that's interesting. So now I lean towards South America, and there, women are more accepting of an older man, and they look up to that.
I lean much more towards
the South American. I like that look. I like the black hair. I like the shapely, brown skin, voluptuous, buxom kind of women. That's what I like. I like the Kim Kardashian look.
And the Asian cultures are more accepting of a bigger age difference.
Well, and Asian women like white males, but Asian women are beautiful, but they don't have the booty.
Well, that's probably true.
They're not too shapely in that aspect, but I've heard they're wonderful women and they make good wives. I mean, they're certainly beautiful. Probably for me, I think that the women for Thailand are probably the most beautiful. But of course, the Polynesian ones are beautiful too. They're the more brown skinned, shapely ones.
Yeah,
they're the ones that in Polynesia, like Tahiti and Moorea. That's why Fletcher Christian burnt the ship and stayed.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, and there are women all over the world that are beautiful, and there are countries that have not been, I don't want to say haven't been explored, but maybe haven't been exploited yet. There are a lot of Eastern European countries that have beautiful women. It's just the Ukraine is just, they've got the stigma, they've got the label for Scam City, and Odessa is the scam capital of the Ukraine.
But
with
Dean,
Nikolaev running a close second.
You have to realize, Dean, that there's a lot more to women than just their outer beauty.
Yeah,
such
well, I,
as,
I do realize that.
Let me tell you, like
You lost your train of thought there, huh?
I can't think of anything. Sorry. No.
Yeah.
But, I think it's interesting that you're going over there, and I hope maybe you'll find Miss Wright over there.
I hope so. I really do.
Well, that's good. And hopefully these guys will be realistic, and maybe you'll get invited to a wedding reception.
Yeah, you never know. You never know. But I'm always looking to try to help gentlemen get on the right track and search for women that are looking for a real relationship and, get them to not throw their money away like I've seen so much of.
So when are we going to South America?
Well, I'd like to do that, PK. I think South America is a great place and a great place to look for women. And beside that, great climate and beautiful landscape. So that sounds like sounds like a fun trip. Oh yeah, and the one we left out, the Dominican Republic is producing some
pretty
good.
Of course, I like that look. But when you get back, we should go to Colombia.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll pre-record a couple shows, so I won't have to worry about my. My responsibilities on a Monday evening. But listen, with that, Dean, thanks for coming back on the show. Appreciate your insights into Eastern Europe and the foreign women thing, which I'm a fan of. So I want to thank you again for that as I wind down my show here at Third Stream View. I'm your humble, not so humble host, PK, and I'm here every Monday evening, 8:55 Pacific, 10:55 Central, 11:55 Eastern. And until we talk again next week, everybody, good night from PK here at Third Stream View on Station 2 BBSRadio.com.